Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
We are recording.
Yay!
Yes, it is 6 o'clock on, what day is it, Tuesday?
It's Tuesday.
I hope everybody's enjoying the Great Christmas Giveaway.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's all happening at the
it's
moment.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
I mean, I get so excited, I'm thinking, mm-hmm. Oh, I must enter. No, it's
you can't enter.
That's illegal.
Let's have a little look. So today, on Tuesday, is
oh, it's
the
Penguin Books.
Penguin Books. We've got Dawn French book, a Jamie Oliver book,
Soup,
Big Panda
broth,
and Tiny Dragon.
Bread.
Soup, broth and bread.
I love soup.
A Scotch
broth.
Or,
what is a broth?
It's a soup, basically. I think it's just a Scottish or Celtic word for a soup. But I think it's like a bit of everything chucked in a pot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm slightly making this up.
I imagine a broth.
Do you know what? Let's Google it.
A broth is a chunky soup.
You reckon?
I think so. But, as opposed to consommé, which is a clear...
A broth, a soup consisting of meat or veg cooked in stock, sometimes thickened with barley or other cereals. Yeah. My grandma was used to make a soup with barley in it. And I guess Diamond Lil, she'd say, do you want a bowl of Scotch broth? And maybe that's what differentiates it. But that's nice, isn't it? Oh, she made the best soup.
Did she?
Ever.
Damn it, I missed a trick there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if the recipe exists anywhere out there, but...
I wonder if it's got... if she's got it hidden anywhere in her house.
Yeah, it's probably just in her brain, which is now, you know, ashes.
Not there.
How are you? Are you all right?
I am a little bit tired and it's all your fault.
Yeah, we went out, didn't we?
We went out. I have to say, I think we pulled it right out the bag in terms of outfits.
We looked pretty good, didn't we?
Yeah.
People could see that on our Instagrams. We went to the British Hairdressing Awards.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't nominated. I don't win awards. I've never won an award. And I quite like
it.
I pride myself on the fact that I don't win awards. You know,
you deserve an award.
I should get an award for not winning awards.
Yeah.
I'd be the best at that.
But we went for a jolly.
Went for a jolly old time.
We went to celebrate your industry.
Mm.
The best thing of all was my nameplate said, Michael Douglas guest.
Yeah.
And I'm not joking. I know this sounds really weird. Yeah. I really liked that a lot.
Oh, did you?
I loved being your guest.
I liked it too. You were a very good guest.
Was I?
Yeah, yeah. I'll take you other places now.
Oh, good.
Yeah, yeah.
I passed.
I thought, they might hurtle abuse at you for being the Garnier girl, you know, being on a box die or something.
They didn't.
But they didn't mind, did they?
No.
They were so overwhelmed by your boots.
Yeah, the boots were good.
The boots are epic, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, very good. Well done. A great choice. And
I would recommend them, but they're so spenny, I can't...
Yeah, no, it's
okay. I can't
okay.
with clean heart, clear heart.
We could say thanks to Angie Smith, though, couldn't we?
We could.
Yeah. So thanks, Angie, for the boots.
Yeah. Thanks very much.
Yeah. Great work, and it's good fun. So I'm feeling a bit rough today because I did have a few drinks last night. I did that thing where I'm sober.
No, it was really funny.
Drunk.
But you were sober at the event.
Mm.
And then we got in the car and you were drunk.
Yeah.
And I was like, who are you?
As soon as you hit the oxygen, I think. As soon as you get outside the building.
But you were very organised with cars.
Yes.
Which I was impressed with.
Yeah, we did.
Because I thought, I think he might be a bit tipsy.
Mm.
And he's being very...
I'm pretty organised.
Organised here.
You know, I'm a safe pair of hands even when I'm drunk, you know.
I do like that about you.
But it's good fun. It's good fun. So, yeah, I mean, I've got loads to talk about, really. I don't even know where to begin.
Do you want to start? Can I start?
Yeah, you start. Yeah,
can I?
Okay, yeah. I mean, I'm eager to talk about something.
Okay,
you
go
first. No, you go first.
Now that you've said that, that's a guilt trip for me. That was extremely manipulative.
It's not.
I'm eager to talk about something, but you go first. What the fuck?
That's passive aggressive. You say what you like about passive aggressive. It's really effective.
It is.
Yeah.
Go.
No, I need to think about it. It's too big a thing. You go.
Well, I put a nut in my mouth.
Ah, did you? People can hear you eat.
Okay, so I'll tell.
Yeah, because this is brilliant. Okay. I love this.
So this is a company called Awesome Chance. Awesome spelt O-A-R-S.
Very good.
O-M-E.
Very good.
As in awe of a rowing boat.
Boat.
Awesome Chance is a charity, and it sets about bringing change for young people aged from 9 to 25 years old in Portsmouth, Gosport and Havant areas of Hampshire. Now, I know this area because my mum and dad and my little sister grew up in in Gosport.
They actually grew up there, did she, your sister?
Did, yeah.
Yeah, Millie.
Oh, my God.
It's all right, it's okay.
Millie, Tilly, yeah, Millie, yeah. Millie. So my mum and dad, Millie probably moved there once she left school.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say when she was maybe 18 or 19.
Okay.
And she knew loads of people down there.
Okay.
She, in fact, dated the sailor that I'm going to talk about.
Really, did she?
Alex Thompson's brother.
Oh, okay.
David.
Okay.
Who's now married to the lovely Abby, and they have a fantastic hotel, bar and restaurant.
Oh, do they?
In Gosport that we really, really should go to.
Yeah, great, take me.
So Awesome Chance basically is they take students and they do loads of kind of vocational activities with them. So things like carpentry, boat building, marine engineering, bike recycling. They do skiff rowing, sailing, mountain biking. They really kind of get kids outside, but they also teach them skills, which is so valuable.
Yeah.
And what they've been trying to do, because Alex Thompson is a sailor, he's something of a legend down in that area, but he's also a worldwide legend because as a Brit, he's sailed in the Vendée Globe, which is a circumnavigation of the whole world alone in a yacht. It's so harrowing. And the last time he did it, and he'd said that it was going to be his last one, he was favourite to win, which would have been extraordinary. All the sailors, I feel like all the sailors in that race were absolutely hoping that he would.
Yeah, of course.
He deserved it. Yeah, after years and years and years of trying. But his boat broke on the way around, and he was devastated. He's got the eye of the tiger, Alex.
How old is he?
Late 40s.
Late 40s. Is he done with the Vendée Globe now?
I don't know.
You don't know? Okay.
He says he is.
He says he is.
But he might not be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, he was sponsored by Hugo Boss. And what they've done, which I really, really like...
Yeah.
Is he's taken and the Hugo Boss boat and he's given a lot of it to upcycle into other things to Awesome Chance.
Great.
So what they sent me some of the kit to kind of have a look at and to experience. Now, I don't know if you've ever bought a laundry bag, say, for example.
Yeah.
Laundry bags are brilliant.
Yeah.
They're those huge, great big bags.
I've got tons of them.
You can buy them for next to nothing. But they last maybe 6 months.
Yeah, yeah,
and
okay.
And then they rip, the zip rips or something like that.
The handle rips or whatever, yeah.
That really upsets me because I do feel like those bags are made of kind of plasticky, you know, they feel plasticky. If you're going to use a plastic bag, make sure that it's going to last forever.
Yeah.
Now, sails are obviously the most hardy, unbelievable bits of kit.
Just to clarify, we're talking about boat sails, right? Yeah.
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 So what they do is they recraft the materials into kind of unique products and that basically save it all from landfill. And it's like a corporate partnership and provides a route of employability for young people whilst helping to reduce ATR's, Alex Thompson Racing's, carbon footprint.
Oh, okay.
Now, these bags are so unbelievably cool.
So we've got them here.
I've got the big laundry bag right here. Now, look at the tag on the laundry bag down that end and just read it to me because I love it.
It says...
Oh, we've started Eileen.
That was the little robot Hoover there sprung into action.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Jesus.
Oh.
Yeah.
It says, Canvas Works, the boat, the HB5 Hugo Boss, Imoca 60, The designer is Bruce Farr. The race was the 2012 Vendée Globe. The bag name is the ATR Extra Large Holdall. It's in silver. It's £125. So this is made from the sale.
Yes.
Of that particular boat.
Yes, and it was in the Vendée Globe. Wow. I just love the fact that it is a piece of sailing history.
Yeah.
It's not great. Only that, this is built to last. The stitching on it is phenomenal. The zip is really hardy and hard. Like, you can feel that it is just built to last. Even the little label on it, which you can then put your name and address in or whatever, even that is attached with a piece of cord that looks like you should be winching it in.
This is a really good idea.
Oh, it's so good. But not only that, they have a gazillion other types of bags. So they've got holdalls, lots of holdalls. They've got small, medium and large holdalls.
Okay.
But they also have things like a small tote bag.
Mm-hmm.
And they have backpacks. And they have wallets and medium...
Oh, wallets, did you say?
Yes.
Ooh.
They have... This one is a small holdall.
It's quite amazing that this is the material that... that powers an enormous boat to sail you around the world.
And when you look at it...
I mean, it's very hardy, the material, but I didn't expect it to feel like this.
This is so good.
Yeah, it is very nice stuff.
Look,
very nice.
And basically, it's made of the sail. So at certain points, you've got bits of stitching in it that run across it, or a black line. The backpack,
straps
really
and the handles
cool.
and everything, yeah.
Everything about it is brilliant, but it's also giving kids a really good chance to
improve themselves.
To improve themselves, and learn a skill that they will be able to use going forward.
So where can you buy these from?
So basically,
canvasworks.org.
Want to go to canvasworks.org, exactly.
And then and you buy this knowing that some of the money is going to go to help these kids. Right?
And the other thing you can do is go to awesomechance.org. And on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram, they are at Awesome Chance. And you can buy the goods from there as well.
Okay.
And look, things like the backpack and stuff, you know, I think that's about £65. But that does feel like a lot of money, I know, to some people. But this is stuff that's built to last.
Yeah. And it's for a good cause.
But,
you know, rucksacks are bloody expensive.
Yeah.
You know, if you go to Samsonite or something and have a little look there. Samsonite have got this really nice range of luggage that I go and have a look at every time I walk past the shop.
Yeah.
And it's never the one in the sale. Everything else is 30% off apart from the one thing I want. But, you know, it's a good rucksack and a bag and everything. It'd be great for my kit. But so expensive. Like, treble the price of this stuff, you know.
And this stuff is quite cool when you have all the, like, holdalls for a family.
Yeah, yeah.
When you have all the bags together or you go away for a weekend, it actually looks
cool.
Really cool. And this is in silver, but you can also get it in black.
Mm.
And black's also really cool because the Hugo Boss sails were black.
Yeah. I just assumed they were made of, like, canvas.
Yeah.
It's funny that it's this kind of... Mm. I don't know what you'd call it, but it's a really interesting material.
Mm.
Very good. Well done, Alex Thompson.
Thank you.
I've been listening to lots of things in the last few days, or the last week or so, I would say. You know, I'm a watcher, so
yes.
I love watching stuff.
Yes.
But I've started to listen to stuff. So my good friend Simon Izzard, a hairdresser who listens to this podcast, hello, Simon. He's a hairdressing friend of mine, and we work together on all sorts of things. But he often just drops me an odd line. He said, oh, I've been listening to this, think you'll like it, or whatever. Anyway, he sent me this radio documentary series called Nuremberg, which is about the Nuremberg trials of all the kind of Nazis that got captured just after the Second World War.
Yes.
And then the trial, you know. So I was like, oh, you know, I mean, I love the Second World War. It's my favourite war. There's so much to go at, and it's so well documented that you could study it for your whole life and there'd be new things
to
learn.
You're endlessly learning.
Yeah, it's just really, really fascinating. And of course, it's a fascinating insight into what human beings are capable of doing.
Mm.
Even good ones, you know, can turn sour, shall we say, to say the least. Anyway, so I thought, oh, I'll give it a whirl. What's brilliant about it is they're only 20 minutes long. So they're little episodes and they're, what would you call it? It's kind of reconstructed action, you might call it. So they're actors talking through the scenario.
Oh, I
of
see. Okay.
So it's not narrated.
Scripted reality.
Scripted reality. That's a great way to describe it. Yeah. And I wasn't expecting that. I thought it would just be a historian talking you through Nuremberg, and it's not. You're listening to American soldiers chatting to British soldiers about capturing these Nazis as and when they came along, and then what they did with them. Mm. You know, they took this very fancy hotel and turned it into a prison, essentially. But all the world's media said that, you know, all the Nazis were being put in this grand hotel and looked after, like, with room service and stuff like that. And of course, that wasn't the case at all. So anyway, I just want to kind of recommend this. If there's anyone out there who's into history, young people that are studying it at school or
Chester
college or something, well, that was my first thought, really, that Chester would like it. And it's quite a fun way to absorb the information. At first, I thought, I don't know if I'm going to want to listen to these actors pretend to be American or pretend to be British or pretend to be in 1945. But I very quickly got past it and actually really enjoy it. And what I found is that the 20 minutes went back really quick. I listened to three back-to-back, and I found myself picturing what it was like and seeing the people. I mean, there's this great moment where these trains arrive and all these prisoners from Dachau get off. And what they want to do, these prisoners, is attack the German Nazis, the captured prisoned Nazis. And the American soldiers are ordered to shoot the prisoners if they attack the Nazis,
oh,
you know.
Oh, God.
Because they just don't want mayhem. It's like prisoners have to go on trial. So, and these other prisoners that have been released from Dachau want to kill them, you know. So it's quite a dilemma, and it's an interesting thing where the guy goes, what would you have done had those prisoners tried to attack the Nazis? Could you have shot one of them, you know?
Can I ask you something? Yeah. I've embarrassingly talked about a Nuremberg rally.
Oh, yes.
As if I knew what it was.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know what it was.
Ah.
Was there, like, a Nuremberg rally?
Yes, there was rallies, I think.
What were they?
So,
because I've talked about things like, yes, it was like the Nuremberg Rally.
Yeah.
I've gone like that, but I don't know what the Nuremberg Rally is.
Well, you
it's just
can
like
still,
me being a pseudo-intellectual.
You can still go to Nuremberg. And so essentially Hitler built this huge kind of stadium for all the kind of Nazis and Nazi supporters and all that to go.
So the Billy Graham.
Exactly, yeah. And Hitler would speak at the Nuremberg rallies.
But, oh, okay.
And they were filmed. You know, they had these amazing filmmakers to create these films, if you like, as propaganda to say how powerful and amazing Germany was. And there's these giant spotlights that come round, you know, like great big searchlights and shine on these huge drapes of swastikas and stuff like that.
I've seen
That's the Nuremberg rallies. But Andy was saying when he went to visit Nuremberg probably about 20 years ago, he said, those spotlights are there. They're all smashed and everything, but you can actually get hold of the spotlight, you know, and move it around.
Oh, my God.
And he said, it's just bizarre, but it was abandoned. And then everybody just left and nobody's really been back to Nuremberg.
Wow.
So whether it's now a museum or something like that, I don't know. But obviously everyone just wanted to write it out of history. They didn't want it kind of talked about or anything. But he said it is amazing when you watch the Nuremberg Rally films, there are those spotlights you can go and stand by, you know, and touch, you know. So it is amazing. So I don't know an enormous amount about it, but I'm really enjoying this documentary series. So it's on the BBC Sounds app, which is a bloody brilliant app.
Yes,
there's tons of
really
stuff on there. And there's one other thing I want to talk about that I've listened to on there as well this week. The BBC Sounds app, or I think it's a series of podcasts that you can get from Apple and Spotify and all that stuff. But
and when you say it's called Nuremberg...
It's called Nuremberg.
Is the whole series called Nuremberg?
Yes.
Oh, wow, okay.
And then there's different episodes in it, you know, so I don't know how many eps are in it, but I've listened to three so far. And what's been nice about it is that I've managed to escape my own life a bit and immerse myself in this thing, which you can quite easily do, I think, with TV. But there's something about TV that you can quite easily get distracted by your phone or something like that, and you can start to double screen
and
stuff.
Oh, God, yeah.
But with an audio thing...
I know, you're so right.
You immerse yourself in it. You can shut your eyes and then you can picture things, and then it's something else.
I find that with audiobooks.
Yeah.
When I go for a dog walk and I listen to an audiobook.
Yeah.
I'm so in it.
It's really good. So I'd highly recommend it. And thanks, Simon, for sending it my way.
I mean, just off the cuff, can we quickly recommend the Jimmy Carr?
Oh, yes.
Interview, because that was...
That was great, wasn't it?
Is it the Diary of a CEO?
I'm just about
Stephen
to...
Stephen Bartlett.
I think it is Diary of a CEO, yes.
And he interviews Jimmy Carr. I don't really know much about Stephen Bartlett, but
Stephen...
I have to say that... this interview with Jimmy Carr is absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, it's episode 106. It's 2 weeks old. And Stephen Bartlett owned a kind of media company that from what I remember, because I interviewed him once for a Weller Business Network Live thing,
yeah.
He'd created a kind of series of Instagram accounts that you can leverage as marketing tools. And he set up a big business, and I assume he went on to sell it. He made a lot of money. I think he's one of the dragons on the Dragon's Den at the moment.
He's the youngest dragon they've yes. ever had.
So I think he's in his late 20s. Mm. And he's become a kind of media personality at the same time, I think, and he's now got this podcast that he films. All.
And he's also doing, in case anybody wants to go and see him, mm-hmm. Appearances yeah. around the UK. I'm not sure if they've finished now, but he was kind of going to do talks, and it's one of those, if you want to kind of change your life, go yes. and go to one of
like
these...
A self-help thing.
Self-help.
And I think it's music-related. I'm sure he said something, that he does something with a choir during this thing as well, yeah. Anyway, he does this Jimmy Carr interview that I was listening to. Jimmy Carr's got a book out, which I'm really hoping to get for Christmas. So
they ran out.
Yeah, did they? They sold out.
I tried to get one.
But I really like it. He's basically said it's half autobiography, half self-help book. And he's basically applied some of these things to his life, some of the things he's learned, and he thinks that's what's helped him become a hugely successful comedian, which is where you take a creative endeavour and then you apply this kind of, I guess, slightly conservative capitalist work ethic to it.
But what I really liked about him is that having a dyslexic daughter, he is very dyslexic, like really dyslexic, and struggled in the wrong gang, you know, not in a good gang at school, decided to change for sixth form, went to a different sixth form college and said, I am going to change everything about myself. I am going to totally reinvent myself. These people here don't know me at all. I am going to become who I want to become.
Yes.
I'm going to be the man I want to be. And he changed. And he then set about, which is so true about academic exams, he set about learning how to write the perfect essay for each subject he was doing. So he went from failing at everything and about to get expelled and always being in trouble to going to Cambridge.
Yeah, it's remarkable, isn't it?
And he said it's almost not about what you know. It's about getting those marks for the way you construct the essay. He said, once I'd cracked the essay code, and I just found that for my daughter so unbelievably inspiring. Because if you can't learn it and you can't remember things, you just think, oh, well, exams, I'm never going to make it in anything. But
there's a technique to it
where you don't have to be able to remember things. You just need to learn the technique.
Yeah.
And once you've learned the technique, it's not like remembering something. It's in you. And finally, just wanted to say that he also did this thing where he didn't come to comedy until kind of his mid-20s. And he left everything behind. And that's always a very brave... I often say to people who are on the verge, on the cusp of change, I hate change. I will literally only change if my back is so far up against the wall and I am in such great emotional pain that I cannot do anything other than change. But when I change, when I close my eyes and I stand on the edge and I just think I'm going to fucking jump. And you jump and then you land and you go, oh, I did it.
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't go well, you still kind of admire yourself for jumping. Like it's a metaphorical jump, by the way, people. Please don't go and jump off anything. But
yeah, because you hurt your ankle when you actually did it.
Yeah,
I think it is interesting. I've thought about the whole change idea quite a lot and I've realised that the thing that people don't really like about change, you know, I say people like me or...
Me.
Yeah, or my kids or whatever, is that to change something requires the letting go of something.
Yeah.
And it's that's the problem.
Yeah.
Because you can say, well, I could change my life, but it means you have to let go of your old life and then
and
set on to a new one.
You know, right? There's a
There's lots of reasons not to let go, you know, but I remember somebody said very clumsily, but it sums it up, is that you can't change trains unless you get off one and get on another.
Yeah.
You have to let the old one go, otherwise you can't change trains, you know. And I was thinking, oh, yeah, it's a really useful metaphor that the fear around change is letting go of the thing, which is the art of sacrifice, I suppose, ultimately, which is, you know, people hate that word because it gets all a bit religious, but I really like it, you know, letting go, you know. There's a power in letting go.
There's a power in letting
yeah.
go.
There's a killer song. It's a Brandon Flowers song. It's called Between Me and You, but the chorus is There's a Power in Letting Go, and it's really great because you think, oh, letting go feels like you're failing at something, but it's riddled with huge power. I love it. The other thing I loved about what Jimmy Carr said, which is that he said, and this really bounced around with me, not because I've got any direct experience with this, but I just think he said, you know, your parents kind of fuck you up or slightly screw you up, let's say,
yeah.
and you have all these kind of idiosyncratic behaviours that you get around 18 or 19 where you might be a bit violent or you thieve or you take drugs or whatever it is. And you said, well, you know, my parents fucked me up. And he said, okay, so at what point can you no longer use that as an excuse?
Yes.
And he said, you know, it's fine.
What's the cutoff point?
You know, you can't just keep saying it forever because at some point you're an adult, you're in charge. And at what age? And he said, I think about 25. You basically got to go.
And I think that's so good. That was the age I did it.
Yes. Well, I thought about you.
Using at 24. Mm.
Well, I thought about you when he said that. And I think, oh, you know, like I let my childhood go a long, long time ago, actually. I think at 23, I made a decision to say, okay, it's my life now. What am I going to do with it? But I know people who are still in their 40s and 50s saying, oh, well, I had a tough childhood, you know, and you think, you know.
You can't keep blaming
them. Well, I don't know if you can or if you can't. It doesn't feel to me like it's fair. You know, it's like, come on, we're all in this together now.
And also, everybody had a tough childhood. Like, it's not like you've got the exclusive on tough childhoods. Like,
and how long are you going to let it dictate
the way you
live your life?
Yeah.
It's a really good... It's 2 hours long, I think. 1 hour 41.
It's the best 1 hour 41
you will spend
ever. He's extremely philosophical.
Yeah.
He's read all the same books that we have,
I think. Yeah, yeah.
He is very sort of stoic in his philosophy and outlook on life. But he's very learned. But the way that he speaks, the way that he constructs a sentence, and the way that he can pass the message on, and all of his metaphors are so good.
Yeah, they are.
Everything that it's amazing. You've got to listen to it. You'll get a lot from it.
A fantastic communicator.
Mm.
You know, and it's just a joy to listen to somebody who can communicate properly.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm just going to quickly recommend to people some Christmas jumper outlets.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are careering into December now.
Mm-hmm.
And you're all thinking, what am I going to wear on Christmas Day? So these are the three accounts. So on Instagram, my great friend Lou in Luland, L-U in L-U land, she has got some very funny Christmas jumpers. I wouldn't be surprised if they're sold out, but you can maybe try and get some merch on there.
Mm-hmm.
My favourite one is Ho Ho Ho, spelled H-O-E-H-O-E-H-O-E, which I have ordered on. I'm hoping it will come for Christmas. Also, Scott Mills and his partner have set up a business.
Mm-hmm.
They make those really nice sweatshirts. I don't know if you remember. I got one last year.
I remember.
I really like it. It's the_Christmas_jumper on Instagram.
Yes.
The shop's there. I got a really lovely one with Christmas written in kind of rainbow letters. Black. Yeah. Very simple. Not too outrageous.
Nice. Something you'd wear, you know.
So. On the other end of the spectrum, you've got Crudely Drawn Store, who are literally my favourite website.
Yeah.
They make me laugh so much. I gave them the word menopausing to put on the front cover of a sweatshirt, and I'd like to think that it's doing rather well.
Yes.
If anybody knows a menopausing woman, get them that sweatshirt. I don't make any money from it.
Yes.
I gave it to them because they're a small business and they deserve to do well because they're hilarious.
Mm.
And their Christmas sweatshirts, I mean, I know this is rude, everybody, so if there are children in the car or you're listening to this with anybody under 12...
Yeah.
15?
Yeah.
15? 20? 30?
Can I just say, you've said the F word twice.
Oh, yeah, podcast, sorry. Okay, so yeah, hopefully it'll be on, I'll be on right. mute at that point. Yeah. So... this, they had, last year I bought a massive, a sweatshirt with a massive drawn vagina on the front.
I remember, yeah.
And it said Merry Clipmas.
Yes.
I also bought a sweatshirt with a massive penis on the front, which said Merry Dickmas.
Yeah.
But.
Yes, I remember.
It's only a sweatshirt that we can crack out in certain company.
Yeah, crack. So, I like it. Yeah.
So I have now got some new ones, which I am loving.
Mm-hmm.
One is, you know, the Fanta sign.
Oh, yes, yes.
It's yours.
Yes, I've seen
it. And it says Santa instead of Fanta, which is amazing.
Very good.
And the other one was, oh, I can't remember now. But anyway, if you want a Christmas jumper, sweatshirt that's edgy, go to Crudely Drawn Store. And if you want any little gift ideas... Mm-hmm. They've got some extremely affordable, really funny T-shirts, amazing for teenagers, and also an amazing selection of mugs with tits on.
It's a good, fun thing to do on Christmas Day as well, isn't it? We'll wear a funny jumper, especially if it's rude.
Yes.
Like, the kids quite like it.
Yes.
You know.
I mean, Merry Clipmas went down very well.
It did go down very well.
It's shocking.
And it's quite a detailed drawing, and I think
it is.
You're a child of a certain age.
Anatomy.
You'd think, oh, is that what it actually
looks like?
Oh, and that's where the clit is. Oh, thank God for that. It's educational.
It's educational.
You know. Okay, so on my street in St Albans live a lovely couple called Dave and Tammy.
Oh, I love Dave and Tammy.
Yeah, and they've got a very, very beautiful 2-year-old daughter as well. So I've got to know these people quite well. And Tammy has a jewellery brand online, which I didn't realise this until recently.
No.
But it's really, really nice. And I did want to talk about this for a few different reasons. One is that I learned something. She's got this website and it's called nmrkjewelry.com. So the letter N, then M, then R, then K, and then jewelry.com. Now that is a chant, like a Buddhist chant. And let me find...
Namaraha Rengiku.
Yes, it's something like that.
It's a Buddhist chant.
It's let me find it. Where is it? There you go.
Yeah. Rengiku.
Yeah. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, wow. You're really impressed. Wow. I would love nothing more than to come home from work and hear...
Find me chanting.
Chanting, you know, sat
I used to have
somewhere.
A lot of friends that were Buddhists back in the 90s. They were all either drug addicts or Buddhists.
Ah, okay.
Namo Yoho Rengiku.
Yeah. So it's a belief in positive expression of self, happiness and the beauty of life in the everyday.
Oh, and that's nice.
They combine affordability with lightweight luxury and beautiful pieces crafted in ethically and sustainably sourced gold and diamond.
God, it's so really nice.
It's great, isn't it? But look at it. So she did this thing. I just clicked on the website and then there's a whole bit about materials of gold.
Yes.
I don't really know much about gold.
No.
I know it comes in 9 and 18 carat and one thing or another. So all the gold they do is 9 carat gold. So they're 100% 9 carat gold. They don't offer any kind of plating or this word vermeil. You familiar with that?
Right.
Okay, so it tells you a little bit about what that is. So 9-carat gold is luxurious, hard-wearing gold, perfect for a lifetime wear. It doesn't tarnish.
Mm-hmm.
Solid gold is the most valuable gold you can buy. Mm-hmm. And you'll see items denoted by the carat. Gold is described as being made of 24 parts. Did you know that?
No.
Which is 24 carat, right?
Mm-hmm.
So 9-carat's got less carat in it, I guess. So it's got other things in it, which is why it's a bit more affordable. And it's a bit more hard-wearing 9-carat gold.
But is that not better? I don't understand why more hard-wearing gold would not be more valuable.
It is,
than...
I know. Well, it's less pure, I suppose. But 24 carats, very soft.
Can I just say
something? Bite it, I think.
But, like, 9-carat gold looks the same as 18-carat gold.
Mm-hmm.
This is, it always slightly makes me laugh.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no, I can't have that. It's not high enough character.
It's not high enough.
It's like, you
just
will
give me
never...
gold, yeah.
Just give me anything gold.
But nothing's plated here, so nothing wears off. And I think that's really, really good. The prices are fab, and she's got a few select pieces, which I think are really
can
good.
Can I just say, the earrings, wait, these little diamond mini huggies are so nice.
Aren't they?
And the little, I am a hoop lady.
Okay.
And so it ranges from sort of 95, but this is for a gold hoop.
Yeah.
Well, for 95. They do tiny little heart studs, which are gorgeous, mm-hmm. for 45. Also, you might not know this, but when you've got pierced ears, if you do start wearing stuff that tarnishes, it tarnishes your ear.
Yes, it goes a bit black,
and it all
it?
Goes a bit black, which after a while, it doesn't look so nice. So to wear something that is gold is a luxury, but that is why it would be the perfect Christmas present. Because it's the kind of luxury you don't buy yourself.
Yeah.
You would buy the stuff that would tarnish.
Yes.
But then you look at this and you go, oh, wow, what a luxury.
It's really nice. So good work, Tammy. It's fantastic.
Good work. So nice.
What she's done, though, for our lovely listeners, is she's giving away next week, as part of our Christmas giveaway, the diamond bar stud.
No.
Yes.
That's £285.
Yeah, I know.
No. They're so nice.
So once this post goes out, which I think will probably be Monday or Tuesday next week, I think, but keep your eyes peeled for it. It's super easy to enter. You just got to comment in the thing. Go and follow Tammy's Instagram account and like the post, and then bingo, someone's going to win those earrings.
That is amazing.
It is really nice, isn't it?
Thank you, Tammy.
Yeah, great work.
Thank you, Tammy.
Good.
I quickly wanted to say, I talked about David Thompson, Alex's brother, and Abby, his wife. They bought a hotel, and I didn't say what the hotel was called.
Yeah.
And it's called the Alva Bank Hotel. It's in Gosport. It's really, really nice. It does fantastic food. They host weddings. They host
Bar mitzvahs.
Bar mitzvahs and parties. No, it's a local run bank with the most outrageous views out to the sea.
Oh, wow, really?
It's gorgeous. I'll take you there.
Yeah, please
Next time we go down to Gosport, we'll go together. Mm-hmm. But the Alva Bank Hotel is super nice.
I would like at some point to live by the sea.
Yes.
You know,
I would like that too.
Not forever.
Let's
but
go.
Just for a bit.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be great. I'd love that.
Can I quickly talk about a couple of very, very simple Insta accounts to follow?
Yeah.
So Fran, the hip gram on TikTok.
Okay.
So it's the hip gram, not gran.
Okay.
Gram as in G-R-A-M.
As in Instagram.
Yes.
Yeah.
She is 93 years old. So she's known as Fran the Hip Gram on TikTok.
Yeah.
She began dancing at the age of 15 when she would perform in shows for World War II servicemen. And she's been dancing ever since.
Wow.
Can I show you a bit of her? Like, she's made it onto Good Morning America. She's made it onto everywhere. She's 93. She's dressed. I mean, she is so.
Yes.
She's right up there with Train with Joan.
Mm.
She's like where Train with Joan's going to be in 20 years' time. But this woman, I always look a bit like you do. For older people, like you were saying about Paul Weller last
week. Oh, yeah, because I want to see where I'm heading.
Me too.
Yeah.
So I am heading to train with Joan and Goldie Hawn.
Yes.
And then after that, I'm heading to Fran.
Yeah.
TikTok gram. Like,
it's just nice to know that there's fun life.
Yes, Fran
ahead,
Hip Gram.
You know.
And let me just quickly
tell
you.
Her fella that she's with, though, he's hilarious. I want to see more of him.
She's got 178,500 followers.
On the TikToks.
And she's had 4.4 million likes and she's 93.
I've just got a TikTok account today.
No.
Yeah.
What is it?
I can't remember, but it's probably
MD London.
It's probably MD London 76 or something, because I probably can't get MD London.
That's annoying.
But I've just come back from a meeting about TikTok.
Yeah,
with some
amazing,
people who are
right?
doing some work for TikTok. It's quite amazing.
Can I quickly, one more thing.
Of course, of course.
I want to show you one more thing. This girl, I came across this girl by mistake. She also brought me a lot of joy. She's just worth a quick look and a follow. She's called Ananya Karad. I think, Now, I'm trying to find out who she is, and I can't, there's no kind of Wikipedia for her, but I think she's Indian. So she's got 36,000 followers, and she loves hip-hop.
Okay.
And she's a dancer.
Ah, yes, I've seen.
And watch this girl. Mm-hmm. This is her latest video. Her face, look at her little face.
Yeah. Wow, the energy.
She's doing that thing with her tongue that I'm not allowed to do by my children.
Yes, I agree.
And what, I'm not allowed to do it?
Well, not on Instagram or anything like that.
Really,
like,
am I not?
You can do it in the living room. Oh, wow, yeah, great.
That was a
tongue
bit,
out, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. Anyway,
very good.
She basically brings me great joy. I do like to follow Instagram accounts that every time when you're scrolling through, you know you're going to see like 30 seconds of something really, really happy and you can just carry on. So those two accounts are for you.
So 8Fact is another Instagram account. I think I've talked about it, but let me just give you a couple of things because this was really funny. The oldest your mum joke was discovered on a 3,500-year-old Babylonian tablet.
Oh, shut up. What is it? What's the joke?
I don't know.
What, they don't tell you what the joke is?
The translated form of the world's oldest your mum joke is of your mother is by one who has intercourse with her. What/who is it? But that's amazing, isn't it? And I love these Instagram accounts. Brilliant. Listen to this one. The Farming Simulator 22 has more active players than Battlefield 2042. So Battlefield 2042 is a big game online.
Oh, okay.
But the Farming Simulator 22 has more active users.
What's the Farming Simulator?
It's obviously a game where you simulate farming a farm, like you drive a tractor around a farm and things like that. More people are interested in playing a game where you become a farmer than they are in killing people.
Oh, that's so good.
Isn't that great?
That has given me great hope for life.
Yes, absolutely. And listen to this. Porn sites draw more users per month than Amazon, Netflix and Twitter combined.
Oh my God.
I mean,
that's amazing.
It's a great account, that. Every day something pops up and I go, oh my God, I can't believe it.
Fran the Hipgram is on Instagram as well. She's only got 203 followers. So if you message her now, chances are she will see you.
She'll see you.
And she'll message you back.
Very good.
She's definitely worth following. But all her big followers are on TikTok. And that's where she's really doing some good stuff.
Okay, good. I have a very good friend of mine who I worked with on and off throughout the years. It's called Philippa Pearn. Now, is that Pearn or Pearn?
Pearn.
Pearn. Mm. Is that because it's got an E on the end?
No, Pearn would be the same with an E or without a Pearn.
But pear, like P-E-A-R is pear. And then there's an N-E on
there. Yeah, but because that it's got an N-E, you can't say pear.
Pen.
You'd have to say pin.
Pin.
Well, I don't know.
Okay.
Pen. Maybe it is pen.
Yeah. Okay, so
Philippa.
Yeah, sorry, Philippa. Me and Philippa worked together.
She's called Philippa.
She was the former beauty editor of Glamour magazine.
Yeah.
And I used to do lots of articles for her. She'd write, you know, ring me up and ask me for
she's
various
things. She's a beauty
editor. Yeah, beauty editor, yes.
Yeah.
And she's set up a little business called My Beauty Editor. And this came off the back of, was talking about Carolyn Hirons last week. But My Beauty Editor is, you can go on to her page here. So it's called mybeautyeditor.com. And she'll tell you a little bit about herself. And then you can buy a package either for yourself or to give somebody a friend. And you can get a consultation with Philippa, who's a brilliant mind of information with regards to skincare, makeup, hair care. She'll do you a 45-minute consultation.
Wait, did you say she's a brilliant mind of information?
Yes.
Is it mine of information or mind?
I've always said mind of information.
My God, I've always said mine.
A mine of information. But you could be right, like it's a big mine.
I don't know.
Like you'd mine the information.
Yeah, but it's a mind, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hang on, I'm going to look it up.
Okay.
Carry on.
And she's interviewed hundreds of thousands of celebrities and all sorts of different people, from Kate Winslet and working with people like Charlotte Tilbury.
Oh, wow.
Look, even my name's on her website.
Is it?
Grilling hairstylists like Michael Douglas, yeah. So, and lots of scientists and formulators and all the rest of it. It's a mine of information. Wow, I've always said mind. Mind makes more sense.
It does, completely, yeah, because your mind is full of information. Yeah.
Anyway, you can go on her website and you can either buy this for somebody you might know.
I think for Christmas,
yeah,
this is something that would be a really nice joint present. Yes. I think that any relative, if my children said to me, why don't we both go and get a consultation together?
Yeah, yeah.
And then
you get prescribed, essentially.
I would rather do that with someone I loved.
Okay, yes.
Than someone just give it to me on my own.
Oh, okay, okay.
So Colour Me Beautiful is one of those things.
Yes, where, I worked with Mary Spillane, she was called.
Oh, my God, amazing. Yeah. And it's one of the most useful things I've ever done. And I did it with my mum and my sister, and it was really, really, really good fun.
Ah, great.
So I think those kind of experiences are lovely to do with someone. And I think this year is all going to be about experiences. I mean, look at that.
So it's for £60 is the entry one. It's called Glow, and you get this 45-minute chat, and then you do a makeup bag consultation. So she'll go through what you're using and so on and so forth. You can chat about your current skincare. And then you'll get a brief personalised skincare or makeup prescription containing up to 8 product recommendations, and that'll be emailed to you. And
God,
you can
detail
on how to use them, where to get them from and all that stuff. It's great, isn't it? There's a gloss package at £85 and then there's a glam package at £110. Nice, right?
Yeah.
And you get all sorts of extras in there. But if you go to mybeautyeditor.com and have a look, then you'll
That's
get all
a really
that information
nice
there.
Idea.
But she's
well
giving
done.
One of these away for us next week. So again, if you keep glued to, I think it's probably on Monday or Tuesday.
Next week's going to be good.
Next week's going to be
Diamonds,
good.
Diamonds, beauty.
Exactly.
Wow.
You get the chance of winning the gloss package. She's got a value of about £60. But she is really great, Philippa. And she's also a really lovely person. So you'll get loads out of it. Yeah, what?
I was just going to say, gloss is £85, actually.
Yeah. Well, maybe you could win the eight. Maybe you could win... What did I say, gloss?
You said gloss.
Oh, glow, I think.
Oh, it's the glow.
The glow.
I mean, even the glow. But the glow is great. Look at what you get at a coffee meetup.
I know.
Her treat. 45 minutes.
And then
chat.
And the chat about what you're currently using and why you
should use
something
else. It's like with you.
Mm-hmm.
There's just 1,000 questions you want to ask a beauty expert, right?
Yeah.
And it's like with you, everybody's got a hair question. Everyone.
Yes.
They all want answers. I've got one more thing to very quickly talk about.
Me too.
And then I'm done.
Okay.
So it is the Chestnut Man, and it was good because I spoke to Anna, my friend, Anna and David.
Yes.
They were like, oh, what should we watch? And I was like, oh, I've just watched something. And it was funny because David was like, I can't believe Davina's watching this because it's quite violent. But I am obsessed with Nordic noir.
Okay.
I absolutely love it. Mm-hmm. And basically what happens is a woman's murdered in a playground and one of her hands is missing. And above her hangs a small man made of chestnuts. And this becomes the clue.
Okay.
And if you see a chestnut man, basically he's already found you.
Okay, you're as good as dead.
And you are as good as dead.
Okay.
There's something about the way that the... Norwegians do this Nordic noir, like everything's got the blue filter on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the land of the constant dark in winter and the constant light in summer.
Yes.
And so when they do film in the winter, it's got this kind of dark hue all the time.
Ah.
And I did it actually for the first time ever in subtitles, and it was a good watch in subtitles. It's 6 episodes.
Okay.
It's so good. And when do ever, 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 ever do this?
Very rare. Very rare.
I did all 6 eps in one night.
Wow.
Yes.
I know, because I kept ringing you. And you're not moved off that sofa.
I couldn't stop.
Yeah.
Anyway, 7.8 on IMDb. I gave it an 8.
Great.
Really enjoyed it. If you love Nordic noir, this is absolutely unstoppable watching.
Yeah.
You're going to be completely hooked.
Great. I really fancy that because I'm looking for something to watch at the moment. My last thing.
Yes.
Is The Beatles Get Back.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I mean...
I haven't done this and I'm really, really, after you've said it, I'm so looking forward to it.
I mean, it's hard to know where to begin to talk about it. But first of all, I think a bit like you... We're not massive Beatles fans.
No.
I'm not a huge Beatles fan.
I mean,
I know their work.
Them, we like them. We could sing along to Let It Be.
Yeah, to all of that stuff. But, you know, I wouldn't listen to a Beatles album while doing the housework or something, or I didn't until just recently,
now.
Yeah. And then the other thing, I do appreciate the cultural impact that they've had on the world. I mean...
Yes, of course.
If you remove the Beatles,
too.
I'm not quite sure what the world would look like. No. You know, it would look completely and utterly different. The musical landscape would be different. And there'd be another version of the Beatles, but it wouldn't be then. Anyway, Peter Jackson, the famous movie director, got hold of all the footage, 60 hours of the footage of them recording the album Let It Be. And there was a lot of controversy over this, and there's been lots of theories about what happened during the making of that album. They all fell out, the Beatles broke up, they got back together, and so on and so forth. But all of that can be disputed now. Whatever theory people had about it doesn't matter because they're...
Proof.
It was filmed. Everything was filmed. 60 hours of footage has been filmed.
How much, when you say everything, like writing, performing, recording...
Yeah, I mean, you hear... Like, Paul McCartney sat with the bass on his lap at one point and he's just kind of messing around with it. They're waiting for John to turn up, you know, and he's just going... Dum, 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 dum. He does this funny thing where he strums the bass, which you wouldn't normally strum a bass. You'd normally pick this thing. So he's... He's got a very peculiar style of playing it, but then he just starts to go. Dum, 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 dum. Jojo was a man, na, 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 na. And he goes, "Oh, that's quite good." And you think,
"No,
you like you see
oh
the
my God.
You see
you
the
see
birth,
it happen
literally in front of your eyes.
Oh my God,
a song which you everybody knows is conceived, you know." And then he just goes on to something else. He just kind of leaves it. And it disappears for a while, and then it comes back, and then it disappears.
Oh, my God.
And it's just like, oh, wow, you know.
And of course, you see Yoko.
You see Yoko, yeah, she's just like hanging around.
And Linda.
Linda's always around, yeah. I mean, it's a very funny mate of mine said on Facebook the other day, he said, "Never mind Yoko, Linda, God, how irritating was she?"
What
and it really made me laugh. Because
no, that's awful.
Yoko's always had this kind of... this idea that she broke up the Beatles. But she's so harmless, she just sits there the whole time. Linda turns up quite a few times. I mean, everybody's so in love with their girlfriends. It's really nice to see, you know. It's just, it's the closest thing.
Can I just say, Linda was a saint.
Linda is incredible. I mean, fantastic.
Yeah.
Wings.
We've just got to say that.
The band the Beatles could have been.
Yeah.
Alan Partridge joke there.
Okay. I was just like, what?
Yeah. I mean, it's brilliant seeing her turn up. But it is the closest thing I've experienced to time travel, watching this thing. Mm. You are completely taken back to 1969. And there's 6 hours of it, so it's a long, old
and it's
thing.
It's not released in cinemas or anything. It's gone straight to where?
Disney Plus.
What?
Weirdly. So Disney have obviously bought it.
Yeah.
So there's three parts, about 2.5 to 3 hours long.
Oh, how are you with that?
I mean, I just couldn't stop watching it.
Really?
I was just mesmerised by the detail of...
Wow.
...of the clothes and the shoes and... seeing their hands. I mean, they're 28 years old, the Beatles are at this point.
I can't believe how young they are.
It's so weird seeing these human beings that you kind of know.
Because when they wrote that album, I assumed they were in their late 30s. I don't know why.
No, they're kids, basically.
God.
And
they were prolific.
Oh, it's incredible watching them churn this stuff out.
Yeah.
It's just incredible. And they're so underwhelmed by it all. Like, when Paul McCartney's writing Let It Be, you go, oh, and he plays this tune, and I find myself in times. And you think, oh, my God. And he said, I can't think of another line for this, you know. He said, we'll come back to it, you know. But nobody goes, oh, my God, that's amazing. Like, sing that again. They just don't. They just go, can you do this now? Like, it's so weird watching this stuff materialise and then come about. And then they don't really know what to do with it. There's this great, funny discussion about... what are the songs for? Paul McCartney's going, we're aimless. We don't know what we're doing. It reminds me very much of Jimmy Carr. He's constantly got philosophies and theories about what the music is and why they're doing it.
Mm.
And he says, why are we doing it? And he goes, well, to make a record. And he goes, yeah, but it can't just be that. We can't just write songs and make a record.
Purpose, he wants purpose.
He needs more purpose. He's constantly saying that. We're aimless. We don't know what we're doing. And Paul and John's going, we're making an album. And he's going, yeah, no, but it can't be just that. We can't just write these songs, put them on an album and that's it. And he's going, but that's what it is for me and George. And he, well, that's not, it's not what it is for me. It's got to be a TV show. It's got to be a movie. It's got to be a thing at the end. It can't just be an album. And it is kind of weird that you go, you write these songs, you record them, then what? Because they don't perform anymore. You know, that's not the deal. They don't go on tour. They stop touring.
Oh, really?
So it's like they don't know what they're doing with these with
Why?
This music.
Why are
you know?
We writing
yeah.
this music?
So
yeah.
It's bloody brilliant. Every minute of it,
I'm really looking forward to getting into it.
What I would say is that a lot of people might find it really boring because it is just four blokes sat around chatting.
I don't know anybody that has.
No, me neither. No one. But I did sat there thinking, this is really boring, but I'm really loving it.
Yeah, I don't think anybody will find it boring.
And there's loads of weird things, like Peter Sellers turns up, you know, and you think,
that's amazing.
It's Peter Sellers. You
that's
know,
amazing.
There's all sorts of funny little conversations they have. Anyway, it's great. It's on Disney Plus.
Are you doing shout-outs?
Well, let's do shout-outs.
Oh, great.
I know.
This is the episode that just keeps giving.
I know, we've got a lot to get through. I can't find the right button. Bear with me. Making the Cut podcast. Messages. Okay, general. Boom. Here we go. Sharon J. Davis Smith. That's quite a big name, isn't it?
Somebody had Sharon Davis Smith. She had to put the J in.
She's got nice hair, hasn't she? Nice short hair on the lady.
She'll be very pleased.
Yes, on Thursday, she said, just wanted to recommend, especially to Davina, the best non-alcoholic grown-up drink that I have come across. And I've tried a lot.
Yeah,
the Martini Vibrate. I know. Sharon, are you sure it's a drink? Not sweet, not weird, just perfect, with tonic and a slice of orange.
Orange, nice.
They also do a Martini Floral.
Floreal,
which is also lovely. Bit sweeter, but bizarrely not sold in the UK, other than via Amazon. If you buy the duo via Amazon, they come in the most amazing packaging, which you don't want to throw out. Anyway, I hope you try and enjoy. That's great, isn't it?
A Martini Vibrant, not a Martini Vibrate. That's really funny. Martini Vibrant.
Vibrant, okay. Special occasions like weekends and Thursdays, she said there. Yeah, very funny. Thanks, Sharon. That's absolutely brilliant.
Thank you so much.
Kathy Green will say, hi, Davina and Michael. I love this week's podcast. My recommendation for Christmas is a board game called Matchy Coral. It's easy to set up and play, and our teens love it.
Okay, I'm buying it right now.
Yeah, Matchy
Thank
Coral.
You.
Thanks, Kathy Green. That's a very good recommendation.
I like the way you slightly dodgily did that in an accent.
What did I do? Coral. Matchy Coral.
Yes.
Did I?
Yes.
Okay.
It's quite funny.
It's hard sometimes,
There you go.
Okay, great. Heidi Plom. Old school Heidi, thank you.
Ah, Heidi.
It's nice to hear from you. Hello, Michael and Davina. Just catching up with your latest eps and loving always. I think I only discovered you this time last year, so thanks for a fab year of recommendations. Not sure where I was when this movie came out, but giving it a shout out. It's called American Honey. I loved the soundtrack. Some parts felt like I was driving the bus listening to my teens singing and bantering on. Really fly on the wall style. And probably Marmite, but if you like Shia LaBeouf...
I do. I love him.
And it's intriguing, to say the least. IMDb 7, so it might make the cut. All the best, Barry Norman. I love Barry Norman. So this one's called American Honey, not to be confused with Honey Boy, which is another Shia LaBeouf film, which I'm not sure whether I recommend it or not, but it's a really, really good film called Honey Boy, and it's Shia LaBeouf's the story of his life and why he's... I guess he thinks that he's grown up slightly damaged.
Mm.
So he plays his own dad in it. And then the little boy, Noah Dupe, plays a young Shia LaBeouf in there as a young actor. And his dad's pushing him to be better and better and better. It's a very, very good film. Really
so that's
made
two
me cry.
Recommendations.
Yeah.
Honey Boy and...
American Honey.
American Honey.
Okay.
Great.
Okay, and Claire. Hi, Michael and Davina. A BBC iPlayer recommendation for you. An Australian 10-part comedy drama about 11-year-old high-achieving student called Ollie, who goes into labour at school, having had no idea she was pregnant. It then deals with all the repercussions of that. For her, the baby's dad and both their families, I sat to watch with my 14-year-old, and she watched about the first two, but wasn't that hooked as I was. I'd say suitable for 15+. I commissioned a season 2 a week after it went out in Australia.
Wow.
I've read about this before.
What's it called, though?
It's called Bump.
Oh, I've heard about this.
Yeah.
I've heard it highly recommended. Yes. Okay, good.
Yeah. So thanks, Claire.
I'm always looking for things. Thank you very much.
But I do like the sound of that. Last one. Hi, you two. This is from Wendy Bell. Loving you as always. Few things. Just ordered 2 Leathermans with initials on the pouch. One for husband and one for 23-year-old son. Thanks for the recommendation. Yeah, great. I'm really pleased about that because it's a really good gift. And blokes, boys or whatever, love a knife and a pair of pliers and some tools. So it's great. I use my Leatherman virtually every day. Have you seen Angela Black on ITV with Jane Froggatt? Joanne Froggatt in it.
No, I haven't.
Hasn't got a high IMDb, but I loved it and well worth a watch. On a food note, I love dry fried halloumi with apple. What's that? I bet you put that in the air fryer, right? And you dry fry the halloumi.
Oh, what?
The apple turns a little caramelised. Just makes apple in there.
My God, he does. Yeah. Sprinkle with sea salt and cinnamon.
If you wish, it's delicious. This week I tried it with pineapple and honey. Oh my God, amazing.
Oh, so air fryer,
halloumi,
apple, cinnamon, salt, fantastic. Yeah. Pineapple and honey, too much. Okay, love it.
It's great to speak to everybody again. I hope you're well.
We've loved it.
A big one-hour episode this week.
It's huge.
Quite a lot for us. Enjoy the competition. Good luck to everybody who comments, and hopefully you all win nice things. The Gary Barlow wine's coming up. I'd like to win that box. Happy December.
Happy December, everybody. See you next week.